help?
I guess it does.
That's supposed to go down somewhere, isn't it? That doesn't. Oh, okay. Well, I picked the right one then, didn't I? Okay. I'll grab this one. Shows you how often I sing. Two things. I love it when we sing that song, Dry Bones. Partly because I think we just have a real sense that what God is doing is part of what's going to be the fruit of that is that God's going to bring, He's going to restore a lot of prodigals. And that's just such an encouragement. So much so that sometimes when we gather around here to pray, we just start addressing certain prodigals that we know. And we just say in the name of Jesus, come back. Come back. And just speak their name. So the prodigals that you know in your life, I'd encourage you to be this, you know, that song of dry bones, just say, just come back. Come back. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'd like to for us to kind of wrestle with a little bit tonight. I want to continue on with this thing of blessing. I was wondering if any of you have had this experience, if you'd be willing to share. Have any of you had the experience of somebody actually speaking a blessing over you, somebody significant in your life, actually coming up to you and speaking blessing over you? Anybody? Okay, there's Tony. You guys want to share anything? You don't have to tell us what it was, but they said so much, but the impact that it had on you. Tony, would you be happy to do that? Sarah, if you'd like to do that too, that'd be great.
Sense if that's theological, but when I was 14, my mum's sister was trying to talk me into going to the JWs with her, and my grandfather had come over from New Zealand. They came over every 6 months, and I was 14, and he just sat me down one night on a bed, and it wasn't anything spiritual because I had no idea he had any faith. So this is kind of how blessing got imparted, and I didn't even know it was blessing until about 5 years ago. And he said to me, Tony, I want you to know that God loves you very much and your name is in the book of life. And I had no idea, no Christianity or anything from him or any of my family, but those words came back to me when my uncle told me he used to be a Christian, and I realised then that he actually blessed me. He passed away 6 months later, and that was probably some of the last words he said to me. So he passed on that blessing, even though it wasn't, I bless you in the name of Jesus, it was still a blessing that he imparted into my life and opened up. And then 5 years later I became a Christian, so for me, that was a significant blessing passed down by my family.
Good one. Sarah, you want to tell us the impact it's had on your life?
Sure. Thank when you. we were graduating from Bible college, one of the things that happened during our graduation was they prayed for each one of us specifically. And one of the words that they spoke over us, you know, we bless you and we bless the gifts that are inside of you. We bless them with life. And we bless your future, and that those gifts would flow into your future and into the people, that they would impact and touch the people that you come in contact with. And I think that has happened.
Yeah, I'd suggest that that's true. Anybody else? I guess we, again, for some of us, as I've been saying, this is kind of a whole new concept of, particularly expressing particular blessings. You know, not just in some kind of general way, but to intentionally and specifically speak blessing into people's lives. And, look, there's a lot we can talk about this, but just to try to reinforce this in some way, I want to talk tonight about, just again, the power of blessing. Okay, So that as you think about entering into this sort of thing, that you have, you just have some encouragement that what you're doing is significant. That it is actually doing something on a spiritual level, and it's actually imparting something to the person that you are blessing. And again, this won't be a huge revelation, any of this stuff, but I think it's again just an important reminder. First and foremost, the power of blessing is that it releases life into someone else's life. There's so much death in our culture. There's so much that is at work in people's lives to destroy them, to rip them apart, to drag them down. There's so much death in so much of our culture. I was having a conversation with somebody today and talking about this seems to be especially true with given the history of Australia. There's so much in Australian history that has left so much negativity and so much insecurity and so much shame in the culture generally, that there are just messages of death that are everywhere. Blessing, as you speak blessing over someone's life, releases life. You know, I think it was a few months ago when Kat used that, or she talked about that proverb, from Proverbs 18:21, how that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Those are profound words. Because there is a warning there, but there's also a promise. You have the power with your voice, with your speech, to release life. Again, Proverbs 15 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Something substantial and life-giving. Your tongue can be that tree of life. Now, I got to thinking about this, and when I was in high school, I mean, it was a long time ago. I can still remember it vaguely. I had a really sarcastic nature. I got a lot of laughs out of it, and I could use my tongue to rip some people in the most imaginative ways. And like I say, I found a way that I could get attention, get laughs, and also hurt a few people along the way. I always thought I was really good at that, and I thought, well, it was just because I was so clever. It was interesting, later in my life, I got a prophetic word from Isaiah 49. And part of what that prophetic word says is that, and this is what the Lord was speaking to me, or what the Lord was speaking through this word, you have made my mouth like a sharpened sword. I realized God had given me a gift that earlier in my life I'd abused. I'd used it to wound and hurt, destroy, tear down. God had graced me and blessed me, but I was using it as a weapon rather than something that was life. So I was abusing the gift of God in my life. And I got a harsh reminder of that last year. I have one of my high school friends that I'm friends with on Facebook, and he posted something. And I kind of just responded with something that I thought was pretty clever, sarcasm on my part. I thought, I was pretty proud of that. I thought, well, that's pretty witty, Jim. And his response was, I see the old Jim is still alive and well. And I thought, ouch. Death had been once again come from this, and there was no blessing in it. So I'm trying to learn how to walk in the grace of this blessing, to release through what I say to people, life. You have people like that in your life, don't you? That just the words that they speak into you just energize you. They lift you up. They just give you life. You know, we don't have enough of those people in our lives, do we? But they just release that stuff. It's interesting that in the New Testament, there are two words that are used for blessing. One is makarios, which has the flavor of happiness. And it's what's used in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, blessed are those who do whatever. There's happy are those, that's some translations say. The other word is eulogeo. And it's a combination of two Greek words that basically means good word. It's the word that we get our English word eulogy from. You know, when you go to a funeral, you hear a eulogy. It's usually, hopefully, a good word. Remembering the person's life and celebrating their life. The power of blessing is that you release good words, God words, into people's lives. And as you do that, those things have the ability to take root and give life, God's life, into the life of another. Anybody want to comment on that? Anybody want to add to that in any way? Anything that anything you want to ask? Okay. That's the first thing. It has the power, it releases the power of life. Secondly, blessing has the power to overcome some of the normal disadvantages that are built into life. Now, I want to get there in a circuitous way. This morning we talked about Jacob blessing his grandsons. You were here this morning. We talked about Jacob it's a powerful sort of picture. But if you back up in Jacob's life to the early years of his life, in Genesis 27, we have the story of when Jacob received the blessing from his father Isaac. Now, if you remember that story, you know that's not a good story, right? Do you remember that story? Here's the first part of it. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau. This is Jacob's twin brother. He called for Esau and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and your bow. Go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And when Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully to what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." I like this next part. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself." And his mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say and let them go." And you know the rest of the story, that he went out, cooked it up. His mom put goatskins on him, put Esau's clothing on him. Isaac rubbed his neck and felt the goatskin, smelled like Esau, felt like Esau, must be Esau, and he blessed him. Now, this is a horrible story at every level. You know, God had already promised Rebekah that even as the boys were wrestling in her womb, the Lord had told Rebekah, "There are two nations in you, and you need to realize that the younger is going to serve the older, or the other way around. The older is going to serve the younger." God had already said to him that of these twins, Jacob was going to rule. Now, you know, some people look chapter 27 and think, perhaps the message is here, the Lord helps those who help themselves. So if I can just make things work, this, you know, and we'll just, you know, so what if we had to tell a few white lies? You know, after all, God said he wanted to do this anyway, so we're just helping the Lord along. That's not the message of this chapter, okay? It's not the message. They went about it all the wrong way. It's an ugly story. Yet, Jacob is blessed by his father. If you read the rest of the story, Esau is crushed when he realizes what happened. He pleads with his father, give me the blessing, give me the blessing. And Jacob said, Isaac says, I can't. I can't give you that specific blessing. I've already given it to your brother. Now, that's a long way of getting to what the point I wanted to make about blessing has the power to overcome disadvantages in life. As we read that story about Jacob and Esau, first of all, I believe it shows us and underscores for us the significance and the importance of blessing. Esau was crushed, and Jacob was scheming. They were fighting from the very beginning to get this blessing. There was something significant being imparted through this. Even through this, even though it's an ugly story, don't miss that point, that the blessing was important. It was something that God would hear and enforce throughout Jacob's life, despite how it came. But also, hear the fact that this blessing became the determining factor in Jacob's life. It shaped his future. It shaped everything about him. Now that's significant for this reason. Again, Jacob and Esau were born into a patriarchal culture. In a patriarchal culture, the oldest always got the blessing. The oldest always got, he received the top reward. He got to be the boss. He got to take control of the family. He got to do all of that sort of thing. Here in the blessing, God is reversing that. As a matter of fact, God had said prophetically, even when the boys were in the womb, that he was going to reverse that. That was always in God's heart. You know, there's something about that. Some of you, and maybe either you personally, or there's something in your own experience that makes you feel like somehow you've been hindered, or perhaps maybe your birth order, you feel like that the older always got the best or whatever, you know, something like that. This reminds us that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't pay attention to all the human, man-made categories that we try to slot people into and try to lock people down into. God makes his own choices and expresses them through blessings and allows those blessings then to overcome the categories that would often lock us down. You know, so you know, I say this, as you find that God prompting you to bless someone, as God gives you direction and as you pray on how you might bless someone and you sense what God's saying, understand that God may be, through the words of your blessing, breaking people out of things that have held them back. Does that make sense? I read a good story about this recently by a guy named John Tripp. And again, it was a story from his final year of high school. And he wrote it this way. He says, I'll never forget sitting at his mother's old kitchen table with my head down, waiting for what I expected would come next. She would echo the words of others. Why can't you do as well as your brother? You're twins, right? That day, my teacher said even more than this with his actions. He had held my term paper as if it were covered with mold, and then he rolled his eyes before handing it back to me. The rest of the class smirked and hooted. On it was a large D underlined in red pen. That wasn't my first D, but I worked really hard on that paper. And while I did skip my teacher's instruction to include footnotes, he made it clear that I was a loser. I waited for my mom to finish reading my paper. Well, finally, she spoke to me. "John, look at me." She had already read my twin brother's term paper, for which he'd had earned an A, as always. "Look at me," she repeated. I raised my head just enough for my eyes to meet hers, and when I did, she reached across the table and took my hand. My mother was a rheumatoid arthritic, and her hands were twisted and bent. Her grip was incredibly soft, but once she held my hand, I couldn't pull away without hurting her and making her cry. So I was stuck. I felt broken and ashamed. And she said, "John, you should have woken me up and I could have helped you with the footnotes." When I dropped my head again, she continued, "I don't care what your teacher said or wrote. You do such a good job of using words when you write that I wouldn't be surprised if God used your words someday to help people." Now, you may not recognize the name John Trent, but he's now a writer for the ministry of Focus on the Family. He writes regularly on family issues, writes regularly speaking into the lives of people and families, giving life, using his words, expressing and working out the blessing of his mother. The word, and he says how those words of his mother, as she spoke in that critical moment, gave him life and released something in him that set him on a journey that led him to that place. Your words have the power to break the categories that others try to wedge people into. That's the power of blessing. A final thing. As you practice blessing, it has the power to return blessing to you. There's an interesting verse in 1 Peter 3. Peter, again, echoing Jesus, but carrying it just a little bit further. Peter says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing." You've been called by the Lord to be a vessel of blessing. And the Lord's promise with that is that as you put that into practice, as you become that conduit of what the Lord wants to speak in terms of truth and blessing and goodness, those good words into other people's lives, as you do that, the Lord's promise is you inherit a blessing as well. It boomerangs back. You know that old saying that what goes around comes around? Well, in the spiritual sense, as you bless, that's exactly right. What you give, you receive. How you bless others, you receive back, and I often think in even greater form. Anybody want to comment on any of that? Anybody want to disagree with any of that? You're loud. Okay, I got some homework for you, okay? I don't want this just to be, well, Jim said something nice tonight. That was kind of interesting. Yeah, whatever. What's next? I want you to hear what I've said tonight, and I want you to go home and do a little processing. First of all, I want you to ask God to show you someone to bless. Ask God who it is in the realm of your influence that He sees really needs a blessing right now. And I guarantee you, there are people in your realm of influence that need blessing. But ask God who He specifically wants to highlight in your, you know, in your eyes. Then go through that prayerful process of asking God what good words you might speak over them. Again, it's almost like a prophetic exercise because God has given you understanding of perhaps what's going on in their lives. You know, you might ask, Lord, what disadvantage in their life do you want me to speak into with your truth that will actually be life for them and help them overcome what is holding them back? Ask the Lord. Because again, this is something I believe the Lord wants to do in other people's lives. I believe He wants to use you to be that kind of conduit. Because again, you're expressing the life of the kingdom into places where it's not currently being expressed. You can do that. And having done all that, write down your blessing. Take the time and find an appropriate moment. Share that blessing with them. And allow this to become a regular practice in your life. And then I'd encourage you, just watch. And start tracking. Perhaps get a diary and track how God is responding with His promise that as you bless, you inherit a blessing. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll keep pressing this reality upon us, Lord. Thank you for those people who in critical moments have spoken good words over us, Lord. Words that have strengthened feeble knees and helped us to keep going. Lord, we commit ourselves to creating a culture of blessing here at Westside. Lord, there's so much yet for us to understand about this, but we thank you for what you're already showing us. Lord, I bless these tonight who take this to heart, and I bless them with the spirit of revelation that you'll show them the person and you will give them the good words from your heart to speak. And Lord, we pray that in fulfillment of Ezekiel 47, through us your river will flow, and that everywhere it flows, it will give life, your life, Lord. Life not as the world gives, your life, Lord. Rich, beautiful, joyful, sustaining, eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.